I'm going to call the Faculty Senate meeting to order today for Wednesday, 27th, 2022. Pat, do we have a quorum? All right, so we'll move on to adoption of the agenda. Can I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda today? All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Any abstentions? All right, the adopted the agenda. So we'll move on to the approval of the March 30th, 2022 minutes. Once again, can I get a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the March 30th meeting? All right. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, say no. Any abstentions? So, Faculty Senate President's announcements. I don't have any. Okay. Oh, public comments. All right. Right over. Yes.
Peter, on behalf of the Faculty Senate, I want to thank you for your service. he spent a lot of time doing the thankless work of looking at our bylaws, and he's continuing trying to clean up our bylaws even next year and going to help out on that. I really do want to thank you. It's a pleasure. He's the seventh president I've worked with. It's going to be my last, but thank you very much.
Guess I made him quit.
We'll both be around next year to try to help Ishmael, and we promise not to sit in the back and heckle next year. So anyhow, right. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And I really didn't make George quit. All right, we'll move on to president's announcements. I do not have any today. Well, I guess the only thing we'll say is today is the last meeting with myself as president of Faculty Senate, and we will determine the next president later in the meeting. So with that, I will move on to the provost's announcements, and Chad McAvoy is going to speak on behalf of the provost's office.
Thanks, Pete. Good afternoon, everyone. I got some notes if my bifocals will read them. Didn't want to leave anything out. Just a couple of announcements on behalf of Provost Ingram this afternoon. Been a number of things going on. Some you might have caught in university communication, others you may not have. First, very excited to share earlier this week, Provost Ingram reached agreement with Clint Michael Renaud to be the next vice president for student affairs at the university. He was a terrific candidate during the interview process. Really excited to have him join our team in I believe the middle of June this summer. He spent a number of years in a similar capacity at Cal State Fullerton, which is a university that we really look to as a leader and an aspirational peer, and very excited to have Clint Michael join our team at NIU this year. You also may be aware of a change in leadership in the College in Health and Human Sciences. Dean Ransdell is stepping down this summer. Beverly Henry has agreed to serve as interim dean of the college and obviously brings a wealth of experience, having served in that role once previously, and will do an admirable job again this upcoming year, I'm sure. And really, as we speak, a search committee is being put together to hire a new permanent dean in HHS. A search firm will be engaged, and the provost really wants to hit the ground running, even get the search firm and search committee started right away so that we can get that search process rolling in the fall and bring candidates to campus in the fall. And Dean Ellis Piper from the College of Education has agreed to chair that search. Jim Kofer was hired as interim CFO on campus and will start, I believe his official first day is on Monday, but I understand is already in the process of getting up to speed. And so, as you're probably aware, then a search for a permanent chief financial officer will get going this summer and fall as well. And then finally, wanted to echo George's comments, and I'm sure others will today as well. But for all of the Faculty Senate members whose terms are expiring today or or this year to be technical. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to all the members for their service this year. And particularly wanted to acknowledge my colleague and friend Pete Chomentowski for his leadership and stepping up this year with Faculty Senate and University Council. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Chad. Okay, we will move on for items for Faculty Senate consideration. And we're going to have the first one's going to be developing a community of practice for equity in community partnerships by Dr. Bernice Edgehill Walden, our Chief Diversity Officer.
Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, there. How's everyone doing? I'm here today to share with you some updates from Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. I apologize for not being with you in March. Actually, that was the same day as my surgery, so I didn't think I could be in two places at the same time. So Tamara Boston came and spoke with you about the anti-racist statement, which we have been able to share across the campus and hopefully have the opportunity to finalize that statement sometime in the next couple of weeks. So thank you for your input. So today I'm going to share a little bit more about what Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion is doing across campus, and also working with some of you in the room and our partners across the university to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion, and also to share a little bit about some partnerships that we have been working on. My hope is that you will hear about what has gone on this year and what we are working on, and then we will come back hopefully in the beginning of the next academic year and share with you some updates and some opportunities for your involvement as we continue this work. Next slide, please. So I've been here since 2015, and since then we have been really working on intentional ways for us to align our mission, vision, and values, the university's mission, vision, and values with the DEI strategic priorities and ADI's strategic priorities in particular, which are cultivating equity, building an inclusive community, and promoting education, awareness, and action. This work we have done intentionally because we believe that it's important for the entire institution to understand the role that everyone will play in advancing DEI. I will say that many of the programs that you will hear about today have really been launched in the last 2 years during the pandemic, and actually complement some of the signature programs that we have done before COVID, and also complement some of the sponsored programs that our cultural resources and centers have developed across the last few years. Next slide, please. So our first strategic priority is education, awareness, and action. Next slide. And some of you, and many of you probably already know about AQ, but I wanted to just say the work that we're continuing to do with academic affairs on this. One of the university goals has always been, since 2015, to close equity gaps and to increase student success. And it is through, there are several intentional tactics and strategies that many of the departments, many of the colleges, have been working on to increase student success and to reduce equity gaps. And so I wanted to highlight a partnership that we are doing with Academic Affairs and with the CIDL that provides inclusive teaching and learning. And so many of you are aware of AQ, which is the Association of College and University Educators. It's a partnership with them where it allows for cohorts of faculty to go through a year-long professional development, and that they also have the opportunity to do an inclusive teaching micro-credential. And we have heard tremendous things from you as faculty feedback on the value of this program. So in addition to what CIDL and Academic Affairs has been doing, they have also been working with us on developing a faculty-led faculty academy for cultural competency and equity, which we are calling FACE. This program will launch in fall of this year. I'll just say that. FACE is going to be 9 months, nine modules, so a module each month, professional development series for faculty with an option of a week-long summer faculty seminar. I want to thank the faculty who have actually developed this program and for Stephanie Richner, who I see in the back, for also partnering with us on this particular program. Next slide, please. We're also excited to say that in the fall of 2021, we received a grant from AACNU, the Association of American Colleges and Universities, to develop and launch a Truth and Racial Healing Transformation Center. We are very proud to be one of 49 institutions in the country to have a Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Center. This center will be designed to encourage and to facilitate dialogue with faculty, staff, and students and community members on racial healing and racial reconciliation. And we will be able to host racial healing circles and encourage more dialogue and voices and to provide, more importantly, spaces for students in particular to share their stories and to bring people together. This fall, in partnership with the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and our resource centers, we will be hosting a virtual talk by Nicole Hannah-Jones on October 27th. We are really, really excited about that opportunity to engage her. We're making this also a part of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences Rebuilding Democracy series. So stay tuned for more information about that as well. Next slide. We have also heard from staff that we really wanted to do more training and professional development around DEI beyond the conversations on diversity, equity, and inclusion that we already offer. And so this fall, March 1st to be exact, we launched what we're calling Inclusion in Action. It's a program that HR and ADEI came together on and talked about what we thought and what we saw many of our staff members were asking for in terms of workshops, conflict resolution, how to mediate conversation, is your department really ready, DEI ready? How do you handle accommodations, ADA accommodations? How do you have difficult conversations? Different topics that are related to and connect to DEI. We really are excited about this because our staff, we visited with quite a few of our commissions and departments and asked staff what topics they wanted. And from that, we have not only gotten the topics that they have wanted, but we've also asked faculty and staff to also lead some of those conversations. So this is just a sample of one of those sessions. We actually also did a survey to find out what the community, what NIU community wanted to call this series. And so the Inclusion in Action actually was a name that came from the community, when I say the NIU faculty and staff community, about what they thought that this series should be called. We plan to start this series back up again in August and with new topics, and are looking for feedback on topics as we continue. We don't plan to just do the same topics over and over again, but as we see the need and as we see the demand from faculty and staff about what other topics could be facilitated, we are very open to that. Next slide. We are now also in the middle of doing our second idea survey. Every Monday, you should have received an email from Viewfinder. Viewfinder is the the survey instrument that we are using for our second campus climate survey. Our first campus climate survey was started in 2019, and we have results from that particular survey. We knew that we needed to do this survey every 3 years. And so our second survey is now being done by Viewfinder. Why is this important? Well, Viewfinder is a survey instrument used and developed by Insight into Diversity magazine. Insight into Diversity magazine is the magazine that we actually won a national award through in, it feels like forever, but it was last fall. Thank you. last fall, we are one of 101 institutions in the country to receive the Higher Education Excellence in Diversity Award, and it's called the HEAT Award. And with that HEAT Award, we had the opportunity to utilize this instrument. What makes this instrument really important and good is that we're able to benchmark with institutions that are like ours, and that we have the opportunity to get a sense about what other institutions are doing. So this survey was supposed to close on today's Wednesday. It was supposed to close on Friday, but we extended it a week. So if you have not taken that survey, you have one more week to do so. It will close on next Friday. Again, if you've already taken that survey, you will not get another email reminder. It takes about 15 minutes to take the survey. If you get that survey, you will get it every Monday morning until you take it. And if you have already taken it, or if you have not taken it, but you plan to, I'm gonna ask that each of you ask your colleagues to take it as well. We have gotten a really pretty decent, I think, response rate, but we always want to do more. So again, every Monday morning, you're gonna get an email from Viewfinder, and it's a confidential survey. The results go back to Viewfinder, and they send us aggregated results from that survey. So please indulge and be a part of that survey. Next slide, please. Our next strategic priority is cultivating equity. Next slide. And I want to just take a minute to thank everyone that has been working with us. We have been continuing to embed in our university goals, the DEI goals, and they are reflected in the work that's happening in academic affairs, our SEM plan. The SEM plan, it was just released. We've been working with the Faculty Senate Social Justice Committee, our Cultural Resource Centers, academic affairs in terms of our Higher Learning Commission. We've been working with colleges and divisions, the Academic Diversity Centers, commissions, and we just finished offering a trauma-informed webinar for faculty and staff, which actually you can still gain access to if you have not had a chance to view it. It's a three-part series that centers racialized trauma and really helps to understand some of the trauma that our students are experiencing while they're attending school. So why are these groups important, and why am I mentioning these groups? It is really important for us to work together towards these goals of DEI. And all of these groups have their own goals, their own recommendations, their own plans for how we're going to advance this work. Next slide. But it has really been important for me as the Chief Diversity Officer to really bring these groups together in a coordinated and a collaborative way so that we can work towards the larger outcomes and the larger vision for DEI. So what you see here, and I definitely call it draft, is a work in progress of what we are developing as a community of practice for equity. And it really will take on three separate areas of student success, staff and faculty success, leadership and culture. We are planning to use a shared equity leadership framework, and we do want it to align with our multi-year budgeting and our university goals, which is why you see the goals at the bottom. I hope to come back to you in the fall to share with you the ways in which I believe the Faculty Senate, the Social Justice Committee's the subcommittees, as well as all of our other partners on campus, will play a role in this community of practice as we advance this work. Next slide. Our last strategic priority has been is about building an inclusive community. This is the last priority, but I want to highlight two community partnerships that we have been working on outside of NIU. How many of you have heard about or were participated in anything related to belonging in DeKalb or on campus? Just show of hands. Great. So our first partnership is with the City of DeKalb Outreach and the College of Visual and Performing Arts. I want to thank Jennifer Gross and Rena Cojones and the president for their continued support of this work, as well as Monique Bernudi and Rose Henton and Paul Castle for just their continued support of this belonging work. And many of you might have tuned in. Next slide, please. Many of you might have participated in our virtual talk with John Powell, who we did virtually. And after that talk, the response from campus as well as the DeKalb community was so overwhelming that people wanted to know how else we can do more, what else can we do more around belonging. As a result of that, we've continued to do a few things. One, we've developed a belonging council between NIU, the City of DeKalb, and local agencies who have really wanted to know how we can work together to promote this concept of belonging. We have had faculty members in the College of Visual and Performing Arts. One faculty member in particular really rise to the occasion and engage her students in some photography work that allow for us to create what you see here, All of Us Belong. Many of you might have seen this campaign on the buses in the City of DeKalb. This is just one of, I would say, 8 or 9 belonging campaigns where we have different people throughout the city that reflect the diversity of DeKalb. And this has been a bus campaign that was started last summer. In addition, and that's what we call the Faces of Belonging, this council really has been working together to co-create a sustainable belonging community where people feel seen, heard, valued, and respected. We received grants from the state, Healing Illinois Grant, Family Service Agencies, NIU, City of DeKalb, the DeKalb County Community Foundation. It has truly been a collaboration where we've been able to develop these programs. After we did the Faces of Belonging, we then started with the Voices of Belonging. If you've been to anything last summer, you might have seen WNIJ. They're van out of any outside at any of our events. They were doing a podcast of students, faculty, staff, community members about what it means to belong in DeKalb. And just this past week, no, not this past week, it feels like a week to me, about a month ago, actually the day after this meeting in March, we launched the Voices of Belonging exhibit, which closes today here on campus, but then moves to the library and then we'll move to Kish. And it's a traveling exhibit about hearing from community members, NIU, faculty, staff, students, and community members about what it means to belong in DeKalb. From the Voices of Belonging, we'll be working with some of our faculty on campus, especially in the English department, on words of belonging, and that will happen in the fall of this fall of 2022. So there's a lot happening around belonging as well. Next slide. Our next partnership is around violence prevention. One of the offices that report to me is for prevention, education, and outreach. I don't know if you noticed, but about 3 years ago, we received a $300,000 grant from the Department of Justice to really advance prevention education. And that was led by Rose Henton, who's the Director of Prevention, Education, and Outreach. The focus of this grant was to promote advocacy and victim services and increasing the violence prevention education. These areas were really important to us because if you had heard from our students 3 years ago, That is exactly what they said that they wanted. They just did not think that Title IX was enough, that they wanted someone to help them, support them through any type of violence that they had experienced, and that Title IX was about investigating the concern, but they really wanted someone to help them and to advocate for them through that process. As a result of that, next slide, this grant we put together was able to bring together what we call a coordinated community response. And the response team was made up of the Cal Police, our police, Student Affairs, ADEI, and Safe Passage. Safe Passage. Safe Passage was an important partner, next slide, because, I'm sorry, go back. Was an important partner because it offered services that we did not have the capacity to offer. Next slide. So Safe Passage is now in an official partnership with us to provide 24-hour, 7-day-a-week phone and text response for students. They have diverse and trained counselors. They have bilingual services, and they, both NIU and Safe Passage, we cross-train each of our staff to see and to make sure that each entity understands the services that we provide for each other. And it's also to make sure that our students are able to get that information from us, no matter who they're talking to. Next slide. We've also done meaningful programs together, a walk in a mile. We did this last year, and they did another one this year. We've done Facebook Lives and a lot, and an exhibit actually that was in the Pick Museum that was done actually during COVID. And it was had a virtual component to it. Next slide. And last but certainly not least, one of the things that we were able to do, let me back up. Our office is located on the fourth floor of Health Services Building, ADEI's office. And so one of our offices is now dedicated to a trauma-informed interview room. And this is where students can come, or faculty or staff, or any community member that might be on campus that may have felt that they needed a safe space to be interviewed by Safe Passage begin the process of their advocacy and victim services. We now have this space on the fourth floor that we are using to support victims that may have experienced trauma. And as we continue to ramp this program up, this program was relatively new. This partnership is relatively new. And as we continue to ramp this up, we continue to get more information out about the fact that this program, this partnership, and this interview room is available. So last but certainly not least, I just wanted to recap the kinds of things that we are going to be working on. We will continue to work on our community of practice with the equity model. We will bring to you also the feedback from the idea survey that we will wrap up next week. We're going to continue to work towards FACE, building the Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Center, and the Inclusion in Action program. And then we are going to always continue to invest in these community partnerships because they have really been beneficial for our campus and our community as a whole. And I just want to thank everyone for their participation in the work that we have been doing. Everyone has been pretty eager to work towards our DEI goals, and I look forward to continuing to work with you as we advance these goals together. Do I have time for questions? Yes.
Any questions?
Thank you. Questions. Beth, did you have your hand up? Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you can. Okay. All right. Any questions? All right. Thank you all very much. Have a wonderful summer.
Thank you very much, Bernice. are we? All right, so we'll move on for items for faculty senate consideration again. And so I'm just going to once again, echoing what the provost office said, I wanted to thank the people who have taken their time to serve on faculty senate for their term of service. And like I said, and say thank you to the new members that will actually be coming on next year. Like I said, it's really, it takes some time to come over and do the work and read the packet and participate and everything. So it's really great that faculty and all faculty, staff, students want to participate in shared governance. So thank you. All right, so we'll move on to Rules, Governance, and Election Committee, and Ben Creed.
All right, the first item for today for Rules, Governance, and Elections Committee is the election of the 2022-23 Faculty Senate President. We have one nominee, Ismail Montana. His letter of acceptance was emailed out to all Faculty Senate voting members last week, and it should be in your agenda packet. For this voting process, there will be three choices, so you'll use your clicker for this. One or A is yes to accept this nominee, two or B is no to reject the nominee, three or C is abstain. And I'll ask Pat to open the polling now.
Open, and if you are a voting member, you should have a clicker. Anybody else?
Did everyone get their vote in?
Okay. It's like, I think Ismail will be our next president.
Congratulations, Ismail. Thank you, sir, for wanting to be Faculty Senate President.
All right, thank you and congrats. The next item of business is to elect faculty members who are running to serve on various committees of the university. To complete this process, Pat will distribute ballots via email following today's meeting. So look for those before the end of this week in your email. The next item will be done via Qualtrics as well. It's to elect tenured faculty members to serve on the Faculty Senate Personnel Committee for terms to begin in fall of 2022. This process, again, will be administered through Qualtrics via email after today's meeting. So please, once again, look for that in your email boxes as well. The next item is we're going to select three. Dropped one of the names out of the envelopes. We're going to select three tenured faculty members to serve on the 2022-23 grievance panel for student grievances. Members selected to serve on the panel might be called upon to review a student grievance should one be filed during the upcoming academic year. These three panel members will be selected by lot from all tenured faculty members of Faculty Senate and University Council. I'll draw those names now. The first is Vaisal Damir from the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology. Elisa Fredericks from College of Business. And Yasuo Ito from Department of Physics. Sorry for keep pulling your name. All right, next we are asked to select three instructors to serve on the 2022-23 grievance panel for student grievances. Members selected might be called upon to review a student grievance should one be filed during the upcoming academic year. These three panel members will be selected by lot from all instructor members of Faculty Senate or University Council. And I'll draw those names. The first is Meredith Stang from the College of Law. Wait, sorry, I think I went back to the, oh, that's the right one. Tim Sullivan from the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. And then Ed Miguel from the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology. I think that's all of the elections we have. But I do also have, should I continue on with the report?
Yep, go ahead.
All right, shifting gears to talk about the other functions for the Resources, Governance, and Elections Committee. The RGE met last week on April 22nd. To finalize a definition of cyberbullying, to receive feedback on the draft cyberbullying website that's in development, and to discuss the recommendations the RGE committee will submit to President Freeman later this week. After the submission of those recommendations, the committee will meet with President Freeman on May 6th to discuss the recommendations and next steps. Under the guidance of Holly Nicholson and members of the RGE committee, that draft website that I mentioned was created to address cyberbullying and online harassment here at NIU. The website will contain the definition of cyberbullying and online harassment, provide resources and steps to take if you are cyberbullied, or if a student or colleague is looking for help with cyberbullying. It provides an overview of NIU's specific resources, of how to get help, and how to report instances of cyberbullying. The website will also contain additional resources and contacts both at the university and outside of the university. It will also contain NIU-related data collected by Professor Shane Sharp from staff and or from faculty and students, and also national and international information. The recommendations, which we will be sharing with President Freeman on May 6th, will cover ways to improve the awareness and support for cyberbullying victims. For students, staff, and faculty. And while there are no new policies that are recommended, there will be a recommendation that current NIU policies, which cover cyberbullying and online harassment, are reviewed and updated to ensure that they include language that specifically states cyberbullying is covered under harassment policies, for example. And that's the report.
Thank you very much. All right, so we will move on to consent agenda. And there's two things on the consent agenda. So A, we have the committees of the university 22-23 to approve faculty candidates running unopposed to serve on committees at the university. And then B, to approve Department of Management Professor and Honors Committee member Barton Sharp to serve on the Chief Financial Officer Search Committee. So can I get a motion and a second to approve our consent agenda? David, motion, second, Beth. All right, so all those in favor to approve the consent agenda, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. Any abstentions? All right, so we'll move on to unfinished business. So we are this is a proposed amendment to the Faculty Senate bylaws, Article 2, Officers of the Faculty Senate. On page 10, this is the second reading and a vote today. So can I get a motion on the floor and a second for this proposed amendment? Rich, second. All right, and so I'll open this up for further discussion right now. All right, with that, then we will move to the voting again with Pat.
Okay, so you have your clickers now, and if you want to vote yes, that you agree with the motion to approve the proposed amendment, then you're going to click 1 or A on your clicker. If you want to vote no, you'll click 2 or B. And if you want to abstain, you will click 3 or C. In order to pass an amendment to the Faculty Senate bylaws, 2/3 of those voting must vote yes. Looks like everybody's got their vote in. Anybody want more time? No?
All right, the motion passes. So now we move on to new business. So we have a proposed amendment to student evaluation of instruction. It's located on pages 11 to 14. We will have a first reading today, and Rich Grun will present this, please.
Thanks, Pete. The ad hoc committee to the Faculty Senate Personnel Committee was formed to perform the required 5-year review of the student evaluation of instruction policy, which is housed in the policy library. The ad hoc committee included 3 members of FSPC, as well as faculty administration and a student member. The ad hoc committee conducted its review throughout the spring last year and presented its preliminary review to Faculty Senate last April in 21. The 4 areas recommended revisions to the policy were the evaluation instrument format, online versus paper, the response rate concerns of said formats, standardized set of evaluation questions, and addressing bias within the student evaluations. During the fall 22 semester, the full FSPC membership reviewed the ad hoc committee's report, deliberated upon its findings and recommendations, and prepared its response report. Subsequently, thereafter recently, the Faculty Senate Steering Committee developed a draft proposal to revise current SEI policy based on its review and considerations of both reports noted above. Thank you.
Thank you. So the summary of the proposed revisions is below, and so this is a first reading. So we are going to open this up for questions or discussion on the proposed amendment revisions. All right, well, with there being none, like I said, this is just a first reading. This will be brought back for a second reading after the summer at the first SAT Faculty Senate meeting of the next academic year. And if there is any discussion or then we will work through the questions or concerns then. All right. So now we will move on to reports from councils, boards, and standing committees. So first, A, Faculty Advisory Committee to the IBHE. Linda cannot make it today, but she has or is going to send us a brief report of what she has. We haven't gotten it yet. And Pat will email that to all of the committee members as soon as we get that report from Linda. So with the University Advisory Committee to the BOT, they held a special BOT meeting on Thursday, April 7th. They addressed really one main thing at the meeting. So under the presidential's report, President Freeman requested approval of a contract with Braven Incorporated. Braven provides career readiness opportunities to undergraduate students to address the inequalities in social and economical mobility faced by NIU students from underserved backgrounds. This partnership will provide NIU student opportunities to build career accelerated skills, mentorship relationships, networking opportunities, and real world problem solving competencies. The idea is that these skills will be introduced through a 3-credit, 300 level course for sophomores or above. If you're interested, it's braven.org, but it was approved for this contract to move forward. And that was the main part of the main reason for holding the special BOT meeting on April 7th. So now there's There's no Faculty Rights and Responsibilities Committee report, so we will move on to Social Justice Committee. Ishmael, do you have anything?
Good afternoon again. My report is very, very brief, and it centers on the Social Justice Committee's prioritized recommendation number one, recommending university support to help sustain the committee's commitment to advance its work and agenda. So last Monday, April 18, the Executive Vice President and Provost, Beth Ingram, issued letters of appointment, appointing four faculty fellows representing the three working groups of the committee to work alongside the committee chair to advance the work. Letters of appointment were also issued to four graduate assistants aimed at providing support to each of the faculty fellows in their respective works outlined in their work plans submitted to the provost. The appointment period for the faculty fellows and the graduate assistant will commence from May 16 through the end of June, precisely June 30th. Each of the faculty fellows will submit a report due to the provost office by September 1st. And one other unrelated to the prioritized recommendation that I want to kind of report on is that just yesterday, the Academic Affairs Working Group met with the College of Law, bringing the total number of colleges that we have met so far to seven. And the goal has been to engage in a conversation with college council members to share the work of the Social Justice Committee, particularly the work that the Academic Affairs Working Group is leading towards updating tenure and promotion policies in the Faculty Senate bylaws, and to see how that could provide support to various colleges while we also learn from what the colleges are doing as we engage in the process. And finally, I want to say that the last Social Justice Committee meeting this semester would take place on May 11 at 3 p.m. at Utgeld. And with that, I think that's what we have. And with the commitment from the provost and the commitment of the committee members as well, although the semester will be over, the work will continue. And it is gratifying also to see, you know, the work of the Social Justice Committee featured very prominently in the emerging community of community of practice to ensure that NIU would be an equitable institution, you know, for all. So thank you. If there is a question, I will be happy to take that. Great, thank you.
Thank you, sir. So we move on to Student Government Association, Devlin Collins.
Yes, good afternoon, Faculty Senate. So it's that time in the year. As I've been saying, this will be my final Faculty Senate meeting as Student Government President. But I just want to take a chance to just thank you all for the opportunity to be sitting here. This is probably my second year being on Faculty Senate, because last year I was Chief of Staff. So it's quite a change next semester, being just a normal student instead of with the student government. But I also just want to take a moment and just also introduce to you all the new president of Student Government Association, Raif Majeed, who I will also give a chance to come up and introduce himself to you all. But I just want to just congratulate you all on a job well done this year. You know, just coming back from COVID, we know that it was a lot on our morale, a lot on our energy to get things moving on this campus. But, you know, we're finally at that time of the year when we can say that, you know, this campus is actually operating and students are here for their activities. They're here for their lessons. So, you know, we're definitely in a different place than we were last year. And I just want to just thank you all for the work that you've done this year. But I'm just going to go ahead and give it off to Rife for a few minutes.
Hello, everyone. So as mentioned, my name is Rife Majeed. I am the president-elect of our Student Government Association. This is my first time on campus being involved in student government, so I have not been involved with Faculty Senate before, but it's a pleasure being here. I'm looking forward to meeting all of you and learning how this process works and growing with you all at the same time. So thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And actually, just as one final note, I just also want to let you guys know ahead of time, he is not here today, but you all will be welcoming a familiar face next year as Dallas Douglas was elected again to lead the Student Government Senate. So he will be back into the Faculty Senate and University Council next year.
All right, we'll move on to Operating Staff Council. Do they have a report today?
Hello, my name is Linda Yates in biology. We don't have a report, but an announcement. This Friday on April 29th at 3 p.m. in the Sky Room, we are celebrating the establishment of the Civil Service Emergency Fund. We have been working very diligently to help our peers who are experiencing financial difficulties. And this came about from the generosity of the council members. And we will have a short program starting at 3:30. President Freeman will speak. We will have mission. There'll be refreshments. The invitation did go out to senior administration department heads, but we would love if you could make it and the people that if you could spread the word about this. And you can donate on the foundation website, and you can also donate on Operating Staff Council. Thank you very much. And we have given out two grants so far. And the two people that have received them have expressed extreme gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you. And Felicia.
So the major thing that took place over the last month was the selection of the presidential SPSS award winners, and those were Celeste Latham, Jennifer Manning, Patrick Park, and Shannon Stoker. One of the interesting things was President Freeman trying to surprise everyone. So we had a couple of occasions where the person canceled the meeting that she planned to attend, and then chasing them around all day. We had a couple of technical difficulties. So we did finally meet with each individual, and they were surprised, but it was interesting just to tracking down. So tomorrow, of course, is the SPSS and OSC operating staff awards. So those would be taking place at 3 o'clock tomorrow in All Gale. We're also in the process right now of selecting members to the council for 22-23 and also the president. Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. All right, so we will move on to information items. So I'm going to have you address your attention to items Q and R real quick. So in the back of the package is the summary service annual report for the Faculty Senate President submitted by myself, and also is the summary and service annual report for the Faculty Personnel Advisor submitted by Stephen Howe for you to look at. So the dates for next year, our first Faculty Senate meeting will be on August 31st, and there's the rest of the dates that we have planned. Is it in this room?
No, we are scheduled to meet in the Altgeld Auditorium on the second floor next year.
All right. So yeah, we had to move plans. So we're going to be closer to the center of campus for that. It'll be in Altgeld. That was passed. That was right.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And so yeah, we'll be in Altgeld Auditorium for next year. All right. Anything else for good of the order? With that, can I have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting today? David? Second? Ben? All those in favor of adjourning the meeting today, please say aye. All those opposed, say no. Any abstentions? All right. Meeting is adjourned. Everyone have a nice day.